Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 055. Yes, this is the double nickel. All right. Yeah, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a whole bunch of tech tidbits, a couple little personal notes that we wanted to pass along. We also have some interesting stuff, crazy stupid videos, TPN info, and interesting caffeinated bits for today. But first off, we'd just like to say that the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, everybody. Hope everybody out there is having a good day, a nice week. Not so much over here. Usually don't get into too much of the personal stuff, especially work-related, because it can get you into trouble. But all the stuff that I'm going to be talking about today has direct relevance towards what we were actually going to be talking about today anyway. So might want to just bring it up there as kind of like a word to the wise. So you'll understand a little bit more later on. As for everything else, if you had been reading my blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog, then you would have seen a rather snarky little post about the right tool for the job. Well, over the past couple nights, I've been refinishing a wooden floor here in our house with a palm sander, so yeah, it's been fun. For those of you who don't know, the proper tool to use that is around the size of a lawnmower. And the thing that I was using was around the size of the center of your hand. So, hey, it's what you can afford at any given point in time. So, yeah, just finished putting the first coat of stain and sealant on there. So we'll see exactly how far this lasts and exactly how well it looks tomorrow. Yeah, we have a great show lined up for you today. A couple little hard lessons to be learned out of some of the information from today's show. And also a small change in the way that we're doing this. We're only going to have one PodSafe song tonight. I wanted to get a lot of the stuff out, and I wanted to try and trim down the show a little bit because it's been getting longer and longer and longer. And you know what? I think we should head back to our roots there for a little bit. So we're just going to try that out. Again, as always, just let us know what you think about any of the changes that we throw down here at the Caffeination. If you're listening to this podcast over at the stream at techpodcast.com, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. And if you'd like to send us a little listener email, comment, suggestion, hate mail, anything else you feel like doing, send it to caffeination@gmail.com. And for those of you over on MySpace, you can go to myspace.com/caffeination and ask to be our friend. We'll gladly add you. All right, well, like I said, we have a great show lined up for you today. Whole bunch of different things happening around here. So we're just going to dive right on into the tech tidbit section here. Now, tonight's episode was going to be about security. It was going to be all about how exactly to secure your data, what to do in case of a data loss, and then wouldn't you know it, after having a really quiet summer so far, for those of you who don't know, I work at a university, so summers are usually the time where we get to catch up, we get to rest a little bit, compared to especially to what it's like in the middle of the semester. So, but all right, neither here nor there. We had a theft in work today. The secretary for the department came in and found out that her computer had been removed, and no forced entry or anything like that, but kind of put a cramp in the whole day from there on out, because then you start looking around at everybody and suspecting everybody. And the big problem that we had, and another computer was taken as well, but that's not as much of a problem as the secretary's because of the amount of data that's on this. Well, the big problem then became, what happened to all of the data that she had on this machine? Because, I mean, she has been working her rear end off most of the summer on various little projects, you know, like trying to get the faculty list up to date, you know, just you can imagine. So, we're sitting there trying to figure out exactly how much data she may or may not have lost. Now, the way I have it set up is one of the servers I run actually mounts as a hard drive. So when you look at your login, you see, you know, C, D, E, and then there's another one, Z, which has your home drive on the network. Well, when she first started, I said, you know what, you'd be really good if you just saved almost all your information to the Z drive, because barring a network outage, which happens very, very rarely, if anything happens to your computer, I mean a flood, anything else, your data is still there. Looks like she took my suggestion and lost very minimal amounts of work and nothing that would be identifiable, let's just say. So even if the person broke into the computer, managed to crack open all the files and everything, they still really wouldn't have anything other than, like, I don't know, maybe some internet history. So, lucked out with that. You know, it kind of sucks because of exactly how much work it's going to be to try and recreate that system and get another one in place and everything like that. We have a stopgap measure in there right now. But I wanted to just kind of take this point in time and take this this lesson and illustrate exactly how bad would it be. Let's just say right now, whatever computer you downloaded this on, whatever machine you hooked up, what would happen if that computer, all of a sudden, you had no control of it over it whatsoever, tomorrow wasn't there? You had no warning. How much would you lose? Now, if it was me, I know that I would lose a significant amount depending on what machine I lost. So, I figured this out a little while ago and kind of made like a stopgap backup measure. I have an external hard drive that I back almost all my important files up onto, you know, like my MP3 library, all of my, yeah, I know, it doesn't seem really important, but all of my photos of my family and everything like that, everything for the podcast. I mean, stuff that I can't really recreate. And that's basically what I wanted to say. What you should really think about is what could you not get back? We're not talking about Microsoft Office. We're not talking about Adobe Photoshop or whatever else. These are programs you could reinstall. I'm talking like, let's just say somebody came into your house tomorrow morning and nuked your computer. Your computer was no more. It was an X computer. What would you lose? So, now if it was just something as small as the hard drive, you might not lose that much. But if the whole computer was gone, exactly what would you lose? So, there's a couple different ways you can go about doing this, and we're going to look at backup options on the next show. Just wanted to give you kind of a little warning, give myself a little time to prepare for it. But one of the things that everybody out there, especially if you do a lot of work on the computer and billing and things like that, if you pay your bills online and you don't save everything anywhere, you know, like you don't save any all your receipts or anything like that anywhere else except on your computer, if that computer goes away, you have a lot of work to do to catch back up. So I wanted to kind of just use the misfortune that we suffered in work as kind of like an example, show you exactly what was going on in our life that could, you know, hopefully would be a wake-up call and somebody else down the line might not lose so much. We had another member of the staff today who realized that should her computer disappear tomorrow, she might as well not come in the day afterwards because there's so much information that's on her computer that's both personally identifiable, identifiable to the people that she works with, and not even that, but I mean, just so much hasn't been backed up in months that she's like, you know what, I really have to get down to it. I really have to back my work up. So hopefully this spurred her to do a little bit more backing up. So, but I just, you know, wanted to kind of like a public service announcement. I know it's a little bit more bumbling than my usual stories, but I also wanted to take this and segue into the next couple little articles I posted up there. Another Veterans Administration laptop has been stolen. So I haven't read all the way through this, but in case you didn't realize it, the other laptop that was out there that had something like 56,000 or 60,000 usernames or names, address, social security numbers, I mean, everything that's personally identifiable, that plenty of ID theft could go on here. The thieves really didn't know exactly how valuable it was, so when they tried to sell it, they tried to make something of it, they were caught, apprehended. Same kind of things happening again. Same department. Department of Veterans Affairs late Monday disclosed that another laptop and up to another 38,000 veterans information has gone missing. This is huge. All right, so I just wanted to kind of put that out there. And there's also a story up there for your own little education about the UK passwords and the RFID chips that are in them. You know, most new passports now are kind of like digitally aware, shall we say, that they broadcast information. And there's a way to clone that information so that somebody could steal your passport. Whoa. Yeah, Cat just jumped up on the desk and took out the mic. So somebody could steal your passport information. without you having to do anything. Just have your passport pretty much open. All they'd have to do is scan it, and they could walk away with your identity in its entirety. So, more interesting stuff to think about. Yet more in security news. We have a lot of security stuff put here, but yesterday, if you're listening to the show tonight, which I really doubt, but yesterday, being Tuesday, the 8th of August, was Patch Tuesday for Microsoft, and they released something like 14 patches, 11 of which are critical. So if you have not done so in a while, first, back up your stuff. Second, head on over to www.microsoftupdate.com or windowsupdate.com. In Internet Explorer. That's the only time I want you to use it. And get your updates. So I actually have a link to that one up there in the show notes as well. So, and then one more thing on safe surfing. I know a lot of people out there still use Internet Explorer. I was looking at our statistics the other day, and roughly 25% of the people who download this podcast do so through Internet Explorer. So I wanted to kind of try to make a plea out there to these people. Please, 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 please use Firefox. Just give it a shot. Try it for a week. See exactly how you like it. There's also another browser up there. And if you don't know what a browser is basically the program that lets you look through pages on the Internet. There's another browser up there called Opera, which is also very good. You used to have to pay for Opera. No longer. Opera is now free, just like Firefox is. Different set of features, different usability for each one, but both of them are very nice, very stable, and very much so secure when you compare it to Internet Explorer, especially the version of Internet Explorer that comes with your computer. So, yeah, that's that. Now, for all of you really high-tech people out there, all of you people in the business world who are using BlackBerries and the like, just wanted to kind of make you aware that BlackBerry has become much more of a juicy hacker target, so says Wired News. There's a very large story over there, and there's been actually a couple stories up there that they highlight exactly how vulnerable some BlackBerries have become. This exactly how bad it's gotten to, you can lose a whole bunch of information if you're using BlackBerries with any kind of regularity. Now, I think there's some securities things that they suggest in the article, so if you have a BlackBerry, feel free to look through that article and see exactly what you like that, if you like that or not, and tell me if just, flying by some of these articles really isn't helpful. And the last thing in the security hard lessons section we have here today is, it's not who you trust. Like I was talking to somebody this morning, it's not necessarily if you trust somebody. Like, I might trust one of my friends. But when you trust them, you're trusting everybody else that they trust. So you have to understand that you are trusting everybody else's judgment. This goes when you're going on websites and you're giving out your email address. I personally always have a junk email address. It's my Yahoo address now at this point, which is the oldest email address I have. It's from like 1997 or 1996. All the email addresses I had before that, actually I think it's from 97. Yeah, all the email addresses I had before that have long since disappeared. A Hotmail account at one point, very, very early on, I had an AOL account. There's no record of anything that happened on that account at this point. I actually did a couple Google searches for the old screen name and couldn't find anything. But, it's all of who you trust and who they trust. So, for instance, if you were to give your email address to somebody who you think's a rather reputable business online, but they're not quite as reputable as you thought, they're going to share your address with a partner of theirs. That partner might be the most unscrupulous person online. So I always advocate using not a fake email address, but just like a junk bin, It's a catch-all email address. You just go in there every once in a while, turn all spam filtering off. Just go in there every once in a while and just check it out. See if there's anything actually useful in there. But just, don't give it out to your friends and say, oh yeah, email me at this@yahoo.com and all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of funny jokes that are laying in there that you don't check for months on end. All right, now, this all brings us back to AOL. Now, AOL has, they haven't necessarily been the media darling that they once was. I've never really been a large fan of their service. I don't like a lot of the way that they conduct business. But recently you can get an at AOL.com email address for free. If you already have high-speed internet, they're giving you their services for free. Now, I don't know if they're going to give you their little insulated walled garden of services, but you can get an AOL email address for free now, which kind of throws a little monkey wrench in some of the verification programs that are out there. You can't use a Yahoo email address, you can't use a Hotmail email address, or anything like those, because they're, you know, basically free email, so anybody can sign up for one. So, like, you know, I at one point had, like, 6 Yahoo email accounts because I was using them for different things. And, you know, didn't want necessarily one being associated with the other. So, AOL is going more towards Yahoo and more towards the content side of things as opposed to the service side of things. They're not providing you necessarily with anything, but they're more giving you the service of having email. And they're also, you know, mixing in content and everything else like that. I know I'm rambling on, but this is all going somewhere, I swear. Well, AOL proudly released huge amounts of private data for, I think it was roughly 650,000 AOL users. Now, these aren't the new free email users. These are the subscribers. We're talking everything but your username, search habits, where you went online, tracking data, the kind of files you kept in your account. I mean, basically just all of the traffic that these accounts generated over, I think it was a quarter of a year or 6 months or something like that. And they posted it online for anyone to download. Now, people have already culled through some of this data, and they picked out one guy's picture. I mean, you can easily get personally identifiable information from this kind of mass amounts of information. And the backlash from the blogosphere, so to speak, was so harsh and so quick that AOL took it down. Let's see. Yep, they took it down within, I think, 12 hours. So they still don't think that they did anything wrong, but even the federal government, that bastion of trust and internet ineptitude, told them that it was a bad idea. So I linked up the article up there so you can read a little bit more about it. Marketers are going nuts, and they're trying to find people who have this this data cached. Other users are calling to boycott AOL, and for instance, here's some of the data that they had. User 491577, they kind of randomized them and then threw numbers in, searches for Florida, CNA, PCA, Lakeland, and Tampa, EMT school training in Florida, and low-calorie meals, as well as infant seats, Fisher-Price rollerblades, and it's like, okay, so you can already kind of build a profile of this user just from, you know, that little bit of information right there. So apparently they have young kids, they live in Florida, in the Lakeland or Tampa area, and they're looking for dieting advice. Alright, they're also trying to become an EMT. Now, this is the kind of crazy stuff, like, you wouldn't necessarily think that you could find out. And going back to a little bit to my archaeology training, we all had to bring in 1 week just to kind of show you that this is another weird babbling story, but it is going somewhere, I swear. For 1 week, we had to collect all of our non-food waste, put it in a specific trash bag that we're going to be bringing in, so nothing gross went in there, you know what I mean? If you were going to put food products in there, you had to make sure there was no actual food bits. All right, so then we everybody brought in their trash bag, and we threw them down on the table. And then you separated up into groups, and every trash bag had a little number on it. So what we did was we took the trash bags, emptied them out on the table, and then tried to reconstruct the person's life from 1 week's worth of trash. You got a pretty good picture of somebody from 1 week's worth of garbage. Now, we were able to to estimate approximate household income from the amount of groceries from the receipts that were in the house. We were able to estimate the amount of people, the demographics that they were. It's amazing the amount of information you can glean from unlikely sources, shall we say. So this kind of breach of trust that AOL would automatically, and for some unknown reason, disclose information about 650,000 of their users. Is that really the kind of company that you want to necessarily be involved with? So that's just craziness right there. Now, we're looking for comments on this one way or another. Do you think AOL did a good thing? Do you not? Did you not think so? Please email caffeination@gmail.com. Yeah, I think we've babbled on this one long enough. It's time for some stupid music videos. Well, today's selection is from a band called OK Go, and this video has had, from the time I saw it, when it was around 20,000 hits on it, it now has 2 million in the last 4 days. This is it's climbing up VH1's top 20 internet or top 20 videos of the week. So you can head on over to the link that we have in the show notes. It's four guys doing a one take music video. I think they produced it for around $25 total. It's on YouTube. So if you don't want to click the link, you can just go over to Google and search for OK Go. OK Go treadmills, and you'll find the video, I guarantee. It's a crazy video where there's all kinds of acrobatics and just walking on the treadmills, and there's like, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or 8 treadmills all lined up straight in a row. So it's an interesting bit of choreography. Now, I contacted the band to see if we could play the song on our podcast and haven't received anything back yet. So I don't want to, you know, mess with anything. And I think they're actually signed to a major music label. So don't necessarily know if that's going to be the way that we're going to be allowed to do it. So we're just going to wait and see exactly what happens. All right, a little bit of Apple information here. Apple this week had the long-awaited WWDC. No, this isn't What Would Dave Do or anything like that. No, this is the Worldwide Developers Conference. All Apple geeks out there know that this is the same kind of show where the iPod was introduced. This is the show where they introduced the fact that Apple was switching to Intel. I mean, huge announcements have come to at this show. Even somebody who's not necessarily a cult of Mac follower, shall we say. I mean, I like Macs. I think they have their places, same as PCs do. But I'm more of a fan of technology in general. But I still, every year, would watch the keynote address, which is basically Steve Jobs' talk and description of the new products coming out, description of the state of the Apple address, basically. Yeah, this year was kind of a letdown. I only saw a little bit. He kept handing it off to other presenters. I mean, he didn't seem to have anywhere near his normal flair. And so I have a link to an article up over at Wired that goes through a little bit about why this necessarily isn't the Steve Jobs that everybody has come to know and love. So I don't know. I was kind of bored by the products that they debuted. I was like, okay, so you're debuting the new operating system. Doesn't really have any knockdown, drag-out features. Has a backup thing. And then their huge thing is that you have views of a desktop. So that you have like five or six virtual desktops that you could have completely different workspaces. Yeah, I used to work on Unix. This thing's been around for like 15 years. It's not really a new development, you know, and Windows has been able to actually do it with a program called Black Box since, I don't know, maybe 2001, so it's not really that new, and the Power Mac, the G5 Power Mac, the shiny little box, their top-of-the-line machine has been replaced by the Mac Pro, the Intel Core version. Everybody kind of guessed that was coming. He didn't even do his normal one more thing, so, all right, we'll see exactly if there's going to be anything crazy coming down the pike, like the iTunes phone or anything else neat, new iPods or anything else. Because usually there's a announcement a couple weeks after it, kind of to spark up the fans for the holiday rush of buying. So nothing really big to talk about. All right, and finally we have a little bit of a mishmash of content. Google and MySpace, huge deal, $900 million advertising deal between the two of them. We're going to look a little bit more into exactly what that means. Don't really know yet, but who knows? Maybe somebody's going to be able to search for your profile and I don't know exactly what the business model of this is, but we'll see. Dell turned 25 this past week, so 25 years of Dell computing. The internet supposedly turned 15 again. I don't know exactly which anniversary this was. I think this was the Tim Berners-Lee, or the, sorry, the Sir Tim Berners-Lee, first server ever put on the line somewhere in Europe. So happy birthday to the internet. This wouldn't be possible without you. Baseball lost their case and said that they do not, in fact, own stats. So maybe next year we'll get more than one NFL game, because they said player names could not be copyrighted because they were facts. These are, in fact, the players' names. These are, in fact, the team names. And these are, in fact, the numbers of hits, runs, and everything else associated with them. So they could not charge for access to them because they were facts and you couldn't copyright them. Interesting. And that's about it for the Tech Tidbits section here today. And now from the PodSafe Music Network, to kind of break the monotony a little bit, now from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have Eddie Rocks, new artist we found up there, and his song Lion Dreams. So let me know what you think of this one.
Do you want to go out tonight? Run around the town, see the sights, I've got the lights, and just spend some time listening to the sound of each other's hearts beating. Just you and me. Well, I said, I don't know if I really feel alright. I got this feeling that it's not quite really fair to you to do what we do. Though I can make it through, I can never be true, and I can never keep on thinking about you. And so she asked me, do you have somebody waiting for you? Somebody who cares, somebody who wants to hold you, but you're not there. And I said, no, but I got a pretty girl I really miss back. Though I'll never hold her tight, she can hold my attention all night. She's telling me all the things that are on her mind, and that's just fine. Out for a walk for a while. She started to talk, sort of made me smile, and then it made me cry. But it wasn't 'cause of what she said, no. You see, every day, every way, anytime, there's always something about you that crosses my mind. And so she asked me, do you have somebody waiting for you? Somebody who cares, somebody who wants to hold you, but you're not there. And I said, no, but I got a pretty girl I really miss back home. Though I may never hold her tight, she can hold my attention all night. She's telling me all the things that are on her mind, and that's just fine.
She asked me, do you have somebody waiting for you? Somebody who cares, somebody who wants to hold you, but you're not there, yeah. And I said, no, but I got a pretty girl I really miss back home. Though I may never hold it tight, she can hold my attention all night. She's telling me all the things that are on her mind, and that's just fine. Yeah, that's just fine. Oh, that's just fine. Everything you know is just fine.
Eddie Rocks and his song Lion Dreams. Nice little smooth, mellow song there. Had kind of a Cat Stevens vibe a little bit, if you're Yusufu Islam, if you're talking about the current name of the same man. But again, now here we have the TPN info, a little bit of information about the Tech Podcast Network, a little bit of information about this podcast and specifically. Again, if you're listening at the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, this is the Caffeination Podcast at www.caffeination.com. As always, we're looking for more feedback on exactly how you think we're doing here. So we'd ask that if you're getting the show notes in your email, or if you'd like to, you can send an email to caffeination@gmail.com. But if you're getting the show notes in your email, we have a survey link right in the middle of the show notes. It says, please take our survey. It helps us create a better show. Or if you head on over to caffeination.com, down on the right-hand side, there's a link that's there, a little picture that says Take 5. We ask that people please fill out the survey to the show so we know exactly, what kind of people are listening to the show, how we can make the show a little bit better, things you like, things you don't, whole nine yards. It's a pretty thorough survey, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's for marketing purposes. We're actually going to be entering into a couple sponsorship deals in the very near future to hopefully offset the cost of doing this podcast a little bit, so we'd ask that you please bear with us for this. We're not going to inundate you with ads. I think we're only going to be... we're only going to have two sponsors, I think, so far. I don't think we're looking into getting it very many more at all, because, I mean, who really wants to download something that's completely full of ads or anything? But I think everybody out there understands why we would do something like this. We're not necessarily the richest people here, so we're just trying to offset the cost of doing the podcast and maybe make a little bit of money for the Wii. Oh, yeah, we did actually have one listener email that asked me specifically, since I refer to my child-to-be as the Wii, is this in any way relating to the fact that Nintendo is intending to call their next system the Wii? Actually, no, it is not. My wife and I found out that she was pregnant in January of this year, and we decided we had been calling the child-to-be it. Because neither of us saw anything wrong with this. However, both of our families were thoroughly horrified. We said we can't use any other pronouns associated with it because he or she is gender specific and we don't know exactly what we're going to be having. So, alright, what's left to us? It seems to be the only other pronoun in the English language capable of expressing an article. So, we decided to come up with a nickname, so we called it the Wee One. Originally, we were going to be calling it Peanut, because that's what they told us the baby was the size of at that point in time. We're like, you know what? We like Wee better. And then Nintendo goes and changes the Revolution name to the Wee, and we're like, okay. And I got an email back from the person, actually, who said, you know what? You should have copyrighted the name. Yeah, I know. Actually, way back in, I think, 2001... right around the time that Torak Evolution, a video game, was coming out, there was a contest in Great Britain run by the people who had the run by the company that was promoting the video game, the company that actually created the video game. There's a promotion out there to name your child Torak or Torok, T-U-R. Okay, if you do a little bit of a search, you could probably find it. But, yeah. And the first child born that was registered with their contest, which actually legally named their child Turok, would win, I think, a complete scholarship for the child whenever they got into college at whatever university they wanted. Something like £1 million. It was a huge prize, and they had to legally keep this name for at least 5 years. So I could see little Turok being probably around 5 or 6 at this point. So, and somebody actually did claim the prize, and there were several babies in the hunt, and I think actually several of them did legally change the name of their, or legally name their child Turok in the hopes of being the first. Yeah, it was all within like a week or so of it, because they actually delayed the announcement of the winner, I think almost a month at that point. So, yeah. No, we're not looking for a sponsorship deal for Nintendo, because we're not actually going to name the child the Wii. Although that would be kind of funny at this point. And then change it before it actually knows any different, but still. If the child's going to be a male child, if it's a masculine child, it will be Paul Jr. And if it's a feminine child, if it's a little girl, then it's going to be Emily Lynn. So that's what we have to look forward to in some 5 weeks from this point in time. Just more little information, TPN info here. Please head on over to podcastawards.com. There's two other TPN members that are currently in the running for the prize. I didn't check, so I don't know exactly when the voting ends. I should probably do that right about now. The voting is open till August 11th, just under the wire here. Please vote for the Mike Tech Show in the science and technology category if you think they deserve it, and it's a pretty good show. And then the Rookie Designer Podcast is over there, and they're in the educational category. So please support the member shows here if you think they deserve it, and if you don't, support somebody else. But still, we don't like telling you what to do here. We just like trying to point you in the right direction. Our show's listed on a crazy site called Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting site. Basically, all the sites that are there physically went over there and signed themselves up to be on this social networking site. You can go over there as a listener and listen to a whole bunch of different shows. There's a bunch of shows that I listen to personally over there. We've gotten a bunch of great feedback from some people who found our show through Blueberry. And if you did, hi and welcome. We're looking forward to meeting all of our listeners at one point in time or another. We'd love for people to send us email, and actually one of the new listeners did send me a whole bunch of email on how to hack into my my Verizon cell phone. So again, I haven't done anything yet. Between work, home, and the house, things have just been getting pushed to the wayside, and I'm going to add a kid into this soon, so who knows what's going to happen, but still. Yeah, that pretty much brings you up to date on what we're doing here. So the caffeinated bits section. Now, I know some people wait all day to hear what kind of crazy caffeinated fun we're going to be finding. Well, I'm going to do this a little bit out of order. If you're in the Philadelphia area, or if you're in the northeastern section of the United States, there's a company that called 8 O'Clock Coffee. Now, they're not environmentally friendly coffee, they were just recently bought out by an Indian coffee company. So I don't know exactly how this is going to affect the price of tea in China, so to speak, but the 8 O'Clock Coffee Company was recently bought out. We have a link up there, and don't know exactly what it's going to mean for anybody in the this area, or for people who drink 8 O'Clock Coffee. It's a pretty good coffee. I mean, the times that I've had it, the only real complaint that I have about their coffee is that they provide these mass grinders in the front of the store. Now, they have one for flavored coffee and one for regular coffee, and I ranted about this well in the beginning of the show. I don't know why anyone in their right mind would run any beans that they had through these things. Now, who knows when the last time these machines have been cleaned? But seriously, think about it. Everybody of any kind of flavor of coffee. So all the flavored ones are supposed to go in one. That means if you're having French vanilla coffee, you're going to get a little bit of Irish cream. You're going to get a little bit of hazelnut. You're going to get a little bit of mocha. You're going to get a little bit of everything. And then all the supposed regular coffees. So you're going to get dark roast, medium roast, light roast, breakfast blend, house blend, anything else. You're not going to be sure what kind of coffee is actually coming out of this machine or exactly how old the grindings that are in your bag now are. because I don't know exactly how often these things get cleaned, but I just wanted to kind of bring this to your attention. Now, we have a little device here at the Caffeination headquarters. Not only do we have the Cuisinart Grind and Brew, it's a wonderful coffee pot, slightly expensive, more than slightly expensive. It's around $150, but still. It was a wedding present, and I can't remember off the top of my head who... Oh, wait, no, we bought that with gift certificates from our wedding, but I love that machine, but I still have my little $10 coffee grinder. Seriously, if you're going to buy whole beans anywhere, go out and get a little $10 coffee grinder. You don't need variable speeds or anything. You just hold it down until it looks like powder. That's it. Between 10 and 45 seconds of grinding, and you should get... around like 10 or 11 seconds and 45 seconds of grinding, you should get the coffee to the consistency that you're looking for. Just remember, the finer you grind it, the more potent it will be, and also a little bit more bitter. We had a user write in here, or a listener, sorry, write in here a little while ago and say the way to take bitterness out of coffee is to drop a little bit of salt in with the grounds. Now, you can't taste it. And I believe that was Tony Martinez. And Tony was, in fact, correct. It took all the bitterness out of the coffee, took a lot of the oil out as well. I don't even know why it did it. I think the salt kind of neutralized the oils or something like that, but there was no little Exxon Valdez creeping across the top of the cup after I had a really fine powdery coffee going. But again, thanks, Tony, for that suggestion. We've been using it fairly frequently there here at the Caffeination Lair. But and now here's the creme de la creme. Now, this is an extremely cruel video, but I had to post it. I had moral dilemmas about posting this one, but I had to. There's a video up on transbuddha.com that shows an art experiment of sorts. If you remember back a while ago, there was an artist who put a series of fish in blenders and put them in a museum, and all the blenders were plugged in. Nobody ever hit the button, so to speak, to fire one off, but people were horrified that the possibility existed that this could happen. So here we have a different take on this. What somebody does is takes a normal goldfish in a bowl and drains all the water out with a, looks like a turkey baster. Then they fill the bowl up with Mountain Dew. This, of course, assassinates the goldfish and caffeinates the goldfish at the same point in time. Then they drain all the Mountain Dew out of the bowl and they fill it back up with water. Now, at this point in time, the fish looks pretty much dead. Then they dip a 9-volt battery right against the skin of the fish and supposedly miraculously wake the fish up. It's just crazy. You kind of have to see it to believe it. And I don't think I would ever actually do this. In fact, I know very certainly that I would never do this, but it's really weird watching it. Again, there's a link over at caffeination.com. There's also a link in our show notes. That pretty much wraps up the podcast for today. So if you like the one song thing, tell us. If you like more talking and a little bit shorter of a show, I think right... Yep, never mind. It's not any shorter because I babbled on about a whole bunch of different things. But... Again, you can find this show over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you, I promise. You can go on over to myspace.com/caffeination to join our friends, and you can go over to puzzlepiecepro.com/blog to see some of my personal thoughts on matters around the world. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.